ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة، فمن تركها فقد كفر، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, we are passing through a very Mubarak and a very blessed period of the Islamic calendar, which can be evidenced from the dua which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited at the onset of the month of Rajab, wherein he taught us this dua: Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. That, O Allah, bless us, give us barakah in the months of Rajab and Sha'ban, and obviously the accolade, the epitome, that month which the heart of every Muslim aspires for, وَبَلِّغْنَا شَهْرَ رَمَضَانَ, and cause us to remain alive to experience the Mubarak and the blessed and the honorable month of Ramadan. This month of Rajab generally is synonymous with a very great mu'ajiza and miracle which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, that of Mi'raj. And we find that in many of our masajid, next week, on the 27th night of Rajab, which according to many of the scholars was the night in which the Mi'raj occurred 14 centuries ago, great discussion in depth detail will take place with regards to this great mu'ajiza and miracle. Occasion of Jumu'ah, time is very, very limited. It's impossible to even scratch the surface of the significance and the importance of this great event. Unfortunately, as an ummah, when it comes to aspects of our deen and sharia, many of us have reduced these significant events, these great nights which are coming, Shab-e-Barat, the Mubarak nights of Ramadan, etc. We have reduced them to rituals. We are basically going through the motions. The reality, the haqaiq, the asbaq, the lessons, what we are supposed to revisit with regards to this, unfortunately, majority of us, that tends to escape us. One aspect of Mi'raj, which I feel it is important that we revisit and recognize and realize, is that according to many of the mu'arrikhin, according to many of the historians, this Mi'raj, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, this great mu'ajiza, which clearly distinguished his maqam and status over all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, they say it was a form of consolation for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was great trials and tribulations, persecution, hardship which befell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, himself he says, "Udhitu fillahi ma lam yudha ahad, ukhiftu fillahi ma lam yakhaf ahad, wa laqad atat alayya 30 min bayni yawmi wa layla, mali wa li bilalin ma ya'kuluhu dhu kabid illa ma yuwari bihi ibtu bilal." He said, "I suffered in the way of Allah more than any human being in the annals of history. I was made to fear more than any human being in the annals of history. And they passed upon me and Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu 30 consecutive days, 1 month. And there wasn't sufficient for both of us to eat besides what Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala could conceal underneath his armpits." So takalif, difficulty, persecution, hunger, persecution, this was almost the daily lot of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet we find that this mountain of persecution reached almost an epitome. On the one hand, Mu'arrikhin mention great test upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a great sabak and lesson for every one of us. was the demise of Abu Talib without Iman. What price tag? What price tag are you and I going to put on this Iman? We were born in Muslim homes. Allah blessed us almost in the lap of our mothers with what we call Miftahul Jannah, the key to Jannah. The criterion which is going to decide between eternal success and eternal damnation, firstly and primarily, is this Iman. How many opportunities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Abu Talib? Allama Suyuti rahimullah mentions the incident in his Khasais al-Kubra. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time was a 7-year-old boy. Trade delegation leaves from Makkah towards Syria. Abu Talib takes his nephew, the 7-year-old Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with him. On the way they pass by an area where there was a very famous ascetic or monk. His name was Buhayra. This man had built what they call a soma'a, a worship place into the trunk of a tree. And years and years and years of ibadat and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in complete seclusion. He had cut himself off from society. When the caravan of Abu Talib reached the precincts of where Buhayra used to worship Allah ta'ala, to the shock and astonishment of the people of the area, an invitation is extended by Buhayra for this caravan to come for meals. The whole area is in an uproar. This man has not been seen for decades. What is so special about you people that he has invited you for a meal? Nevertheless, this caravan of Makkah, they gather around the tree of Buhayra. It's the middle of the day. Buhayra comes out from his soma'a, first time in many, many years. He's looking around at them. Then he asks the question, where is the boy? Where is the youngster? They said, we left him behind to look after the camels. So he said, you fools, it is because of the youngster that I invited you. Send for the youngster. It's the middle of the day. In a desert climate, shade is a rarity. Hardly any shade there was. This young boy is coming. Whatever shade there was taken. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sits in the direct glare of the sunlight. No sooner does he sit, the clouds move and the shade moves to cover the body of this child. This was clearly visible to everyone. So Buhayra addressed them and he said, did you see what happened? He said, every tree, rock and stone that this youngster passed, greeted him and prostrated before him. He said, this is exactly what would happen with the previous Anbiya alayhi wasalam. Then he asked them, who is this youngster? Abu Talib stood up and said that he is my child, he is my son. Buhayra addressed him and said, you are a liar. My scriptures have informed me that the father of this child passed away before he was born. Hearing this, Abu Talib says, yes, it is true. He is not my son. But, and this is the important point, he said, I love him more than my own son. I love him more than my own son. I'm cutting the incident short. Buhayra requested them. He said, I fear that on this journey to Syria, there are certain areas where you will pass by the Jews. If they come to know of the existence of this youngster, they are going to harm him. Take him back to Makkah. Years and years of selfless devotion and service to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Shi'ab Abi Talib, in the valley of Abu Talib, when the Banu Hashim were boycotted, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believers and disbelievers, had reached such a level that they had to eat the leaves from the trees. The claim or the request was one, hand over Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us and this boycott will be uplifted. You can return back to your homes. At that time, what does Abu Talib say? كَذَّبْتُمْ وَبَيْتِ اللَّهِ نُبْزَى مُحَمَّدًا وَلَمَّا نُطَعِنُ دُونَهُ وَنُنَاظِلِي
ونسلمه حتى نصرى حوله ونذهل عن أبنائنا والحلائل وأبيض يستسقى الغمام بوجهه ثمال اليتامى عصمة للأرامل. Very famous poem that he recited called Qasida Lamia, 90 couplets. The crux of it was, you want to reach Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want us to hand him over to you. You will first have to slaughter every one of us. You will have to create a mountain of our corpses before we will allow you to even touch one hair on the body of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That kind of devotion. They form a delegation, they come to Abu Talib. And they say, stop your nephew from what he is doing, otherwise, up to that point it was physical persecution. They would beat him, they would hurt him, they would maim him. But they would draw a line from na'uzubillah killing him. Now they say to Abu Talib, we are no longer going to accept your protection. If you don't stop him, na'uzubillah, we are going to kill him. The question, my respected brothers, what each and every one of us, the sabak and the lesson we have to revisit, is what did they have a problem with? Was it his ibadat? Was it his tilawat of Quran? Was it his zikrullah? Was it his worship of Allah? Prior to nubuwwat, days upon end, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make the ibadat of Allah in the cave of Hira. That time the people of Makkah loved him, revered him, honored him. The gullies and the alleys of Makkah would resound, Al-Amin, As-Sadiq, the truthful one, the trustworthy one, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming. At the age of 40 plus minus, he's given nubuwwat. That is when the problem with him starts. Stop him from what? They didn't have a problem with his ibadat, they had a problem with his da'wat. With his responsibility of da'wat and tabligh. So Abu Talib sends for his nephew. Oh my beloved nephew, I implore you, I beg you, I beseech you. Stop what? Stop this tabligh, stop this da'wat that you are doing. Calling towards the oneness of Allah. What is the reaction? Various riwayat, one riwayat I'm mentioning. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to his uncle, مَا أَنَا بِأَقْدَرْ مِنْ أَنْ أَدَعْ مَا بُعِثْتُ بِهِ مِنْ أَنْ يُشْعِلَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الشَّمْسِ شُعْلَةَ نَارِ. Oh my uncle, it is difficult to even translate this. But the crux of what he said, oh my uncle, it will be easier for me to take a burning coal, flame in my hand, and my entire body be burnt to ashes. That I will allow to happen. But abandoning this da'wat and tabligh, calling humanity to Allah, that will never happen. That which the ummah today, illa mashallah, regards to be, theek hai, karenge, karna hai, karenge, theek hai, nahi karne koi masla nahi. Da'wat and tabligh, mashallah, good work. Do it if you can, leave it if you don't want to. Or in some places we reduced it to the work of one organization or one group. This was the lifeblood of nubuwwat. My Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my body burnt to ashes I will tolerate, but I will never abandon this da'wat. Abu Talib, seeing the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, thumma stabara wa baka, and broke into tears. Abu Talib, seeing the determination, fasda' bi amrika lam tusibka sababatun. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقْتَ وَقَدْ كُنْتَ قَبْلُ أَمِينًا وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ وَحَذَارَ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمِحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. Who is saying this? Abu Talib. He says, continue with what you are doing. No harm will come to you. You have always been truthful and you are willing and you will remain truthful. And then Abu Talib, he says, I know in my heart, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ, I know that the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of every religion. If it were not for the fear of the taunts of the women of Quraysh, that out of the fear of death or old age, I abandoned the religion of my forefathers, I would have openly recited your kalima. Abu Talib on his deathbed, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begging his uncle, begging him, recite this kalima once, if not openly, recite it in my ears. وَحَاجُّ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. So that tomorrow on the day of judgment, I will have some argument, some hujjat I can make before Allah. But he leaves the world ala deeni Abdul Muttalib. And what is the outcome of that? So hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Such love and devotion, sahaba saw the effect that this had on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Talib living without iman. That once the crux of what Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, he said, if Allah gave me a choice, that, oh Abu Bakr, your father Abu Quhafa, who is blind, Allah gave him iman. Oh Abu Bakr, he says, if Allah gave me a choice, that I will deprive Abu Quhafa of iman and he will go to Jahannam forever, and in exchange for that, I will give Abu Talib iman. Abu Bakr, with tears in his eyes, he says, I would have chosen the iman of Abu Talib over the iman of my own father. Why? Because they saw how this hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he say? Inna ahwana ahli an-nari azaban la rajulun yudaw fi akhmasi qadamayhi jamratan yaghli minhuma dimaghuhu. My Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there will be one person in Jahannam. Two coals of Jahannam will be placed underneath the feet of this person. Such will be the intensity of the heat of these two coals. يَغْلِي مِنْهُمَا دِمَاغُهُ. His brains will start boiling. مَا يَرَى نَاخَدًا أَشَدَّ مِنْهُ عَذَابًا. This person will think to himself that in the whole of Jahannam, there is no one suffering more than me. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is the reality? وَإِنَّهُ لَأَهْوَنُهُمْ عَذَابًا. This is the lightest azab of Jahannam. There is nothing lighter than this in Jahannam. And this azab will be given to Abu Talib. Allah lightened his azab in cognizance of the years of devotion to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is Allah's sunnat. Can't call kar sunnah. Don't fall into a trap. MashaAllah, welfare work or social organization work. So how can this person go to Jahannam? Don't fall into this trap. This was the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But my Nabi was asked this question. Ayyu dhanbi azam? Ayyu dhanbi azam? What is the greatest sin or crime anyone can commit? What did my Nabi say? Al-ishraku billah. To make shirk with Allah. To make shirk with Allah, this is the worst crime anyone can commit. One hand, the demise of Abu Talib. Other hand, that pillar, that mountain of support. Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who set the pattern for every wife till Qiyamah. That what is the role of the wife? Look at her devotion to the cause of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Richest woman in Makkah, yet everything was given. Bukhari Sharif riwayat. Jibreel comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved Nabi, Khadija is on her way to you. Allah has sent me to convey his salams to Khadija. She has suffered greatly. Give her this basharat and glad tidings that her home in Jannah is already prepared. La sakhaba fihi wa la ta'ab. There will be no suffering, no hardship, no difficulty. Demise of Abu Talib, demise of Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha. The incident of Taif. Many muarikhin of the opinion as consolation. He was in the home of Umm Hani radiallahu ta'ala anha. From there he was taken to the Hatim. First time there in the Hatim, open heart surgery takes place. In his youth it took place again. There was no ventilator machine, no anesthetic, no surgeons on hand, no blood transfusion. Open heart surgery. Chest is open, heart is taken out. Bowl from Jannat is brought. The heart is bathed in Zamzam. From Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. No other surah in the Quran begins with this expression, Subhan. Subhan. Subhan alladhi asra bi abdihi laylan min al masjid al haram ila al masjid al aqsa. Subhan. What does Subhan mean? Allah is pure. Allah is pure of what? Allah is pure of your science. Allah is pure of your chemistry. Allah is pure of your biology. Earth, wind, fire, water, Allah is pure of your four elements. Allah is pure of any of the regulators by which he has locked humanity, time was stopped. Allah is free of time. Open heart surgery performed without instruments. Allah is free of all those restrictions that are attached to that. Atmospheric pressure. They say plus minus 1 ton of pressure of the environment, of the atmosphere, is pushing down on each of us. Why don't we get crushed? Because Allah has put a system between inside us. That the effect of the outward pressure is mitigated by the pressure inside you. As you go higher, atmospheric pressure gets less. Now what has happened? There is an imbalance. If that imbalance is not addressed, you will explode. So what they do, they make the astronauts wear a space suit. That space suit mitigates the outward pressure so that this body doesn't explode. In his ordinary kurta and turban, ordinary kurta and lungi, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically, bodily, is taken into space, beyond space. Subhan, Allah is free. Allah is free, Allah is part of any of these restrictions. Time is limited, we are not going into detail. The extent to which this was a glaring miracle. First heaven, Adam alayhi salam. Second heaven, Yahya, Zakaria alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam. Third heaven, Yusuf alayhi salam. Fourth heaven, Harun alayhi salam. Idris alayhi salam. Fifth heaven, Harun alayhi salam. Sixth heaven, Musa alayhi salam. Seventh heaven, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Beyond that, Sidratul Muntaha, the final point beyond which no creation of Allah has ventured. Qazi Ayaz rahimullah in his Ash-Shifa, he mentions the riwayat. When they reached the Sidratul Muntaha, Jibreel addressed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that no creation of Allah has gone beyond this point. There is only permission for you to go beyond this point. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself says, "Faraqani Jibril, wan qata'at ila aswat." He says, "I went beyond the Sidratul Muntaha. That point, no creation of Allah had ever been." Obviously, there was total, complete silence. An element of fear naturally entered the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of a sudden, what happens? He says, فَسَمِعْتُ كَلَامَ رَبِّي. فَسَمِعْتُ كَلَامَ رَبِّي. I heard the kalam of my Allah. Allah addressed him directly. لِيَهْدَهْ رَوْعُكْ يَا حَبِيبِي اُدْنُ. Do not fear, O my beloved. O my beloved, do not fear. Go even beyond that point. اُدْنُ. That maqam, that point of qurb, that status, that position, no creation of Allah had been afforded that honor. Details, inshallah, next week in the masajids we will get. Somebody returns from 40 days, somebody returns from 4 months in the path of Allah. Somebody returns from some journey, little grandchild runs up. Or the child comes forward to greet the parents. First thing, kya hadiya lekar aaya? What gift did you bring? My own grandchild says, what surprise did you bring for me? What gift did you bring? MashaAllah, masjid will get full next week. We'll talk about the Mi'raj. But what was the sabak of Mi'raj? What was the gift of Mi'raj? What did he bring from Mi'raj? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah puts it beautifully. He says, لِلْعَبْدِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ مَوْقِفَانِ لِلْعَبْدِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ مَوْقِفَانِ مَوْقِفٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فِي صَلَاتِهِ وَمَوْقِفٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ يَوْمَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ. There are two occasions in the life of every mu'min that he will present himself directly in Allah's court. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taken on Mi'raj to that maqam of qurb and given something, such a gift, such a medium, that two occasions in the life of every mu'min, every follower, he will replicate that and he will be taken in Allah's court according to Ibn al-Qayyim. First occasion is five times every day when Allah's Muazzin calls out that azan, you are summoned directly into the court of Allah. And the second occasion, يَوْمَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ, the day when you will stand in Allah's court on the day of judgment. The tremors of that day, the fear of that day, Quran describes, no time to go into details, but what does Allah say? إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. Allah says the tremor of Qiyamah is tremendous. Quran calls it tremendous. That day you will see women, pregnant women aborting their children. Every breastfeeding mother will abandon a child. People will appear in a state of drunken stupor. Allah says they are not, they have not lost their senses, but the fear of that day has caused them to lose their senses. لِلْعَبْدِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ مَوْقِفَانِ. Two occasions you will present yourself in Allah's court. One is five times every day when the muazzin calls out the azan. The other is on that day when you will meet Allah. Beautifully he puts it, فَمَنْ قَامَ بِحَقِّ الْمَوْقِفِ الْأَوَّلِ. Fulfill the right of this first standing. Present yourself in Allah's court five times every day. Fulfill the haqq of the salah. Bring khushu and khudu in the salah. Understand what a gift Allah has given you. The key to Allah's arsh Allah is giving you. He says if you will fulfill the right of this first standing, huwina alayhi al-mawqif al-akhir, the second standing will be made easy for you. وَمَنْ إِسْتَهَانَ بِحَقِّ الْمَوْقِفِ وَلَمْ يُوَفِّ حَقَّهُ شُدِّدَ عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ الْمَوْقِفِ. But he says if you make a mockery of this first standing, 95% of the ummah doesn't even come to the masjid. That 5% that comes from Allahu Akbar till salam, everything else but Allah. Illa mashallah. He says if you make a mockery of the second first standing and you do not fulfill this haqq, Allah protect us, شُدِّدَ عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ الْمَوْقِفِ, the second standing will be made difficult. Mi'raj, what was the gift? What was the hadiya? Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam kya lekar aaya? That is the sabak. That is the lesson. My respected brothers, not just to fill the masjid on that one night, but to make tawbah. To make tawbah and to make this ahd and contract and promise with Allah that from now till I die, not one salah will be made qadha. Then we have understood mi'raj. Then we have accepted the hadiya. Then we have acknowledged the maqam and status which Allah blessed His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. Allah give us tawfiq.